E1.
Number 23, B.
You could also say there in mind and love that we see patterns instead of chaos, or that you see love, a plane. So we can see that we see suddenly perfection in the midst of imperfection. Everything begins to fold into place. You see, that's what has happened in every science, that sometimes some question where did just not find an answer, that sometimes something seemed to be very chaotic, and then suddenly you make a discovery, spirit and truth, and through that discovery, mind and love, the answer is being found for what had seemed to be imperfection, or misty, or chaotic. Just think about the genetic code, that once they have seen the genetic code, and everything began to fall into place. Because through the genetic code, they began to have a much wider system of reference, a wider structure, and by widening out structures, things fall into place. That's mind love. Things, ideas, fall into place, plan, mind love. So you can see, say either things fall into place, or say in the midst of imperfection, we perceive perfection, that the more comprehensive the view, comprehensiveness is love, view is mind, the more comprehensive the view, perfection takes the place of imperfection. Then, when we go to principle and begin to see that principle is the only thing that is ever going on, then we can see humanly that therefore this scientific human understanding is therefore giving proof. I think here we find that principle gives proof. Gives proof to our new system of reference, to the higher sense of structure. We feel that this principle is reduced to system. By reducing it to system, it gives proof of itself. It operates as proof. Because have you seen right through what has gone on before was all geared to bring us to the statement that this principle of understanding operates as proof. It operated as proof first in soul and life, namely that in the measure as we understand spiritually, we have the proof of our being, of our true being. Or in spirit and truth, you had that principle by seeing, by reordering, we have the proof that we can find new discoveries. And in mind and love, we could see that by a more comprehensive view, we'll find the answer where there was no answer. So it gave the proof. Each one of these stages operated as the principle that gives us the proof. In other words, this humanly structured understanding is not something that is ethereal up on cloud nine, but something that is right down on earth, namely that it proves itself. That this humanly structured understanding contains within itself the proof of its statement. Yes. Again, we see that we only have to do with the structure of how to understand and not as the structure of what we understand. This is not the question here, what we understand, but it is the question, structure of how we understand. So humanly seen, we find here the answer how we get to higher proofs of the principle, namely through soul and life, by seeing that in the measure as I culture my spiritual understanding, and culturing spiritual understanding means what? That I go over and begin to see the identities of being, get more acquainted with the ideas that constitute the seven synonymous terms. The more I culture that in human understanding, the more I begin to see that I am. And as I begin to understand more and more the fundamental orders of being, I come now to spirit and truth, the more I begin to understand the fundamental orders of being and the way how they relate to each other, the calculus, how they can be intertwined and through the point of intersection find completely new truth, I see in spirit and truth that I can make new discoveries. By making new discoveries, I begin to see that those things that seem to be misty, nebulous, that seem to be mysterious, that seem to be a paradox or an anomaly, that those things suddenly become clear-cut and understandable, and so I can suddenly see order where before I was only aware of disorder. I become aware of perfection where before I thought was imperfection. This is the proof of this understanding. Now, we can go further to the next column, and here we come again to the question of the opposite, because we are still on the level of Christian Science, where the relationship between truth and error is stated, therefore between a divinely scientific understanding and an unscientific understanding. So we can call that last question an unscientific understanding. This would therefore be that place where Christian Science comes in and corrects the false structure of approaching a subject. What would be the counterfeit of soul and life, the counterfeit of the numerals of infinity or the identities of being, the counterfeit of spiritual understanding is naturally beliefs. The counterfeit of understanding are human beliefs, mortal beliefs, so that I have that beliefs, the counterfeit of soul, beliefs, and the counterfeit of life, beliefs are mortal. Beliefs are mortal. In other words, we know that if we build our lives on beliefs, on human beliefs, erroneous beliefs, unscientific beliefs, mystical beliefs, mysterious beliefs, spiritualistic beliefs, materialistic beliefs, beliefs, not understanding, that has a destructive effect on our lives. It's mortal. It does not bring us anywhere. It is destructive. That's why the whole teaching of Christian Science really is based on this point, that if we go on without understanding God, that we will not find any answer. All what we reap is really sickness, disharmony, decay, frustration, and so on and so on. Negative aspects. And so Christian Science comes in and says, in order that you have being, you must have spiritual understanding. Knowing is being was one of the great statements of the old Greeks already 2,500 years ago. So it's no use to look at the world and at the whole world at mankind, at politics, at me and at others, at the future, through the glasses of human beliefs. If we rest on human beliefs, we know exactly what human beliefs do. They begin to make false calculations. And so humans calculate wrongly. I think you have also that saying or your rendering that he calculated wrongly, not meaning that he had wrong numbers, but that his way of thinking and combining was all on a human belief and therefore was calculating wrongly. So we get in spirit and truth that false sense of calculating, and so it shows that belief calculating or even random calculating, random combining, doesn't really bring forth purposeful results, good results. So you could say random or human calculations
reckoning?
Yes, reckoning, huh? False reckoning with beliefs, false human, random human calculations equal to false results. If you do that, and we know that from the human life and from life experience, that all this human calculation and reckoning goes on, and figuring out if I do this and the other does that, and if I react this way, he reacts that way, and you have a whole lot of feedback calculations, and it's all on a human basis. It's a blind calculation, it's a random calculation, and therefore we see what is happening is that on that basis we calculate without any plan. We have a so-called structure blindness. Every human calculation is structure blind. See, structure blindness really shows that we make purposeless demonstrations. You can even take that into Christian Science and say, well, if we try to demonstrate something and have not a big plan, not a big framework in view, we are going to demonstrate something which is not right. We may demonstrate it, because every belief demonstrates itself. There is nothing extraordinary about a demonstration. All the various metaphysical groups and thought systems have their demonstrations. The world is full of that. It's full of mentality and mental systems, and all have their results. All have their demonstrations. This is not unique to Christian Science. They also build on mortal mind, on human beliefs, on opinions, on the human will, of thought power, of their whole thought systems. All that mentality, the counterfeit of the divine mind here, has its results. Everyone has them, because they function within their own realm. They function within their own framework. But the question is that framework right? Is it big enough? Is it spiritual enough or not? And all of these metaphysical groups are actually making their demonstrations within a framework that is mental, that is human, that is limited. In other words, within the framework that is blind to the infinite plan. See, we can make a demonstration, say, in our life. What shall I say? For instance, we may fall very sick because we have been overworking and giving no time to ourselves, never have any time to think about what we are doing, being so busy in our business that we fall sick. And then we think it would be a demonstration if the next morning we are all fit again and up so that we can go on in the old rat race just as we have done before. Such a result would be called a demonstration. Well, in the big plane, it may be the very opposite. It may be the worst thing that can happen. Because within the big plane, it may perhaps be very good if that person or businessman or manager would have to be bed-stricken. You say bed-stricken, have to stay in bed for a week, bedridden for a week or two or three, to have finally time to think about life and to think about what is really life here for. And it would perhaps be a much greater demonstration not to be well in the next morning. But the demonstration would be to awake to one's own life purpose, to a higher spiritual life purpose, to awake what is life here for. And that would be naturally a wider frame of reference. You see, the frame of reference of a whole life or of eternal life is naturally much bigger than the small framework of going to the business and running around in the business and making a lot of money or a lot of debts. Both is possible. The framework of a business, which is very limited, is limited just to the bare necessities of each day. If that frame of reference is broadened out and broadened out to the frame of reference of what is the purpose of life, then naturally a demonstration takes on a completely different form. So what seems to be on within a narrow frame of reference something positive is seen to be something negative in a bigger frame of reference. Can you see that through structuralism, and this would be structuralism by asking what is the frame of reference in such a case? Is the frame of reference that we make the problem a business problem or a life problem? That's something different. That would decide on how to go about in demonstration. So, we have here that structure blindness. Let's say in this case, they would be structure blind to the structure of the one life, of life purpose. And it would just be what you have here, atomistic thinking. You have mind, thinking, but instead of a big plane, just the opposite of a big plane, namely atomistic. So all that atomistic, we could put here atomistic thinking. All this atomistic thinking, this really makes demonstrations, but makes purposeless demonstrations. So all that clamoring for making demonstrations must be taken with a pinch of salt, because you have to know what kind of demonstration should really be made. And I think this is coming more and more into the forefront as the whole Western civilization just seems to go more and more into the mental and mystical, transcendental and I don't know what, all into that mental field instead of into the spiritual field. And so they will come forth with all kind of demonstrations which are unusual compared with the former materialistic point of view. But they are not a bit better. They are not a bit better. I guess they are quite a bit worse. Because they are going away from the... We must face that, so that we are not sidetracked, because there are groups, and big groups, and many groups, that show forth all sorts of extraordinary phenomena. If one is acquainted with the chapters Christian Science versus Spiritualism, there Mrs. Eddy shows very clearly that all these wondrous phenomena, wonderful phenomena, which seems to be one wonder after the other, are nothing else but mental treatment within a very small frame of reference, and using mental power instead of spiritual power. There are mental demonstrations instead of spiritual demonstrations. So this is all under the big heading of unscientific understanding. Therefore, if somebody comes along and says, I understand quite a lot about the mental and shows forth some phenomena, we have to be on our guard and see, is it mental or is it spiritual? Is it atomistic or is it within a great framework? Is it structure blind or not? Is it teleological? Is it goal-directed or not? Or is it just atomistic? Just to be glad about the very moment and very incidents, and have that settled the way the human mind likes to have it settled, and call that a demonstration. It isn't. It isn't at all. So actually, when we come to principle and ask ourselves now, what kind of principle is here governing when it is based on belief? Well, the principle of belief may be mysticism. Perhaps most of it is mysticism. Because mysticism means not understandable. Therefore, all the mystics, and there are plenty of mystics today in America, the country just seems to be full of a tendency towards the mystical. It's therefore a development that goes away from science. Therefore it is not at all a progressive state. After all, we have had our great mystics long ago. They belong to the great mystics of the ancient world, and then all the wonderful mystics we had in the Middle Age in Europe, like Meister Eckhart and so, they were wonderful people, presented wonderful ideas, but they were pre-science thinkers. With the Renaissance came in the scientific thought, and now just because with science we don't seem to get anywhere, or at somehow a bit blocked at the moment, where we feel that science may lead us into an abyss or to destruction, these weak thinkers try to back out. And always when somebody is weak and tries to back out, he can only back out backward. And that's towards mysticism, oriental philosophy and all that. Instead of seeing that we are living in a scientific age, and if this scientific age doesn't seem to give all the answers, though they give us a lot of answers, but not all the answers yet, then it is just a sign that the present system of reference in the exact sciences is not big enough. And therefore, we must go deeper into science and see the bigger frame of reference of exact science, namely the spiritual frame of reference of exact science. So the way to being leads not back to mysticism, but right through to a better or higher form of science, from material science to spiritual science, to the education of the nation and of the people in spiritual science, but not in mysticism. This is just a phase through which the Western world goes for a time, and it will find out very soon that mysticism has a very weak basis to stand on. So first they tried to expand their consciousness through drugs and through alcohol and I don't know what, and now through some kind of mental transcendentalism and things like that, and Jesus people and hallelujah and so on. But this is just a transitional stage. It's a sign of the time, because that sign of spirit is breaking in on consciousness. And the mass of the people just can't quite recognize the signs of the times. And so goes into mental things, but it will prepare people to go into the spiritual realm of reality as a signs of spirit. And that is what we are interested in, that our human consciousness must be newly molded, and molded in such a fashion that it thinks in the spiritual categories of the capitalized terms. Okay.